Patriots. You don't lose to the Patriots. He was an equal opportunity asshole. Watch every Bucks road game with me at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Almerton.
How about a 14-year veteran of the insurance industry, Ira? That is Josh Martin, the owner of Florida's Elite Restoration. He was an insurance adjuster for 14 years. He knows the game inside and out. When you have a disaster in your home, you're not just getting help fixing it. You're getting Josh's expertise and his company's expertise, Florida's Elite Restoration, in navigating the insurance company process so you don't get ripped off, so you don't get bad advice. It's so important, Ira, because when you get that flood in your home, or you get that roof damage, or you have mold and it's significant, you need someone who knows what to do, and they're there for you 24/7 at Florida'sElitereStoration.com. I know you're buddies with Josh, Ira. People think we just say that, but you are.
I am. And, you know, Steve, it's so important that Josh, he has that background in the insurance industry. He knows the business of insurance. And, Steve, it is a business. And that, I think, separates Josh Martin and Florida's Elite Restoration from the rest, along with his excellent staff. And they have a reputation for honesty. So Florida's Elite Restoration, that should be your first phone call.
If you're a plumber, a contractor, an air conditioning repairman, a property manager, lots of people like you work with Florida's Elite Restoration all across the Tampa Bay area. Call Josh Martin. Find him at Florida'sElitereStoration.com. He'll let you know how he takes great care of people and businesses all over the Bay Area and how he can work with you.
Yeah, yeah.
Buccaneers fans, we are here. The most hyped Bucs game that wasn't a playoff game in a long time. You've seen the commercials. You've heard about it. Buccaneers, Patriots, Sunday Night Football. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast, presented by Bill Curry Ford. And the star of the show, he's the king of Pasco County, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford. Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton himself. Ira Kaufman, Sage, we are fired up. We got a lot to get to, some interesting stuff. We've had developments. I want to let everybody know, Ira, first up, Apple Podcasts, they've had a little bit of a glitch. So the last two podcasts didn't publish right away. Now they got there, and it's not like I can pick up the phone and call Apple and say, hey, where the hell is the Sage's podcast? It doesn't work that way. And Ira, you would think that you passed away. I got so many emails. I mean, it got to be over 100 emails. Where podcast? Hey, Joe, the podcast. Well, I listened here. I listened on this app, but it's not on Apple, and this is a tragedy. And I listened on the website, and unreal, the reaction. It's stunning, Ira. And these are people who listened to the podcast who said it wasn't on Apple, but of course I got it somewhere else. But amazing, Ira, you're following the loyalty, the eagerness for the Sage. How are you today?
You can't keep a good man down, Smith. You can't do it. As far as this matchup on Sunday, the Kemper, I hope you're sitting down when I say this. Just another game, gentlemen. Just another game. Just one of 17. That's the message. If you're listening to all the nonsense that's spewing out of one Buck place and out of Foxborough, just another game. Belichick said it's got nothing to do with Brady. Me and Brady had a great relationship. It ended beautifully, says Brady. It couldn't have ended any better. Tom says, Lee, I said a week ago, don't believe anything you hear this week unless it's on this podcast or on Joe Buck's fan. Don't believe it. I'm ready for a bloodletting, Mr. DeKemper. The Bucks are 6.5 favorites. I think Brady wants to win this by 35. If the Bucks are up by 28 with 4 minutes left, Brady might tell Arians, keep me in there. Don't put Blaine Gabbert in. I'm closing this puppy out. I just think there's a lot of pent-up frustration / anger from Mr. Brady towards the way it ended in New England. He won't say it. He's too classy. And I'll say this, Lee, and I'll let you spew a little bit. Lee, I would not call Bill Belichick a villain. He's not a villain. He made a football decision, and I don't think he was crazy to do it. Because, frankly, if Brady was on the 2020 Patriots, they're not going to win the Super Bowl. They weren't good enough. They would have won three more games than they did with Brady. But Belichick said, I got to get younger. The guy can't go on forever, and we don't have a good enough team behind him right now. So it was Tampa Bay's game, but let's not paint Belichick as the villain, and I don't believe that excerpt from the Wickersham book, Lee, that says Belichick refused to say goodbye to Brady in person. I'm not buying that, Lee.
Maybe I'm the wrong person to talk about this subject, but I don't care. I think I've done a good job of staying away from all that. I just don't care. It means nothing to me. The game is important because the Bucs need a win. I don't care about Brady's past. I don't care about Belichick. I'm more worried about Jamel Dean's health. I'm more worried about Rob Gronkowski's health.
Lee, it matters to the Today Show.
It matters to the Today Show. Guess what? I don't work for the Today Show. Apologies to everybody at the Peacock Network. I'm not clowning you guys at all. Me, Lee DeCamp, JoeBucksFan.com, I just don't care. And I think most Bucks fans are more worried about the game rather than the hype. That's just me. And I'm a guy that enjoys the drama. I'm a guy that enjoys the hype. I love that stuff. But with Brady and Belichick, I'm bored.
But, Steve, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say this game matters to Brady. I just think it does. He doesn't want to give it up in the build-up to the game. Maybe he'll let his guard down post-game. Probably not. But he wants to win this game, and he wants to stick it to a certain head coach, Steve.
I'm really interested in it. You know, I would be if Brady had gone to the Panthers, I'd be interested. It's just kind of cool. And I agree, Ira. I think that Brady is human, and 20 years, and who knows what really went down when he left exactly, but there were probably some hurt feelings. Charlie Weiss and Scott Pioli had a long discussion about this on SiriusXM NFL Radio. They both worked for Belichick. They both love Tom Brady. They're both close with everybody and know the inner workings. Pioli being executive of the year under Bill Belichick. Charlie Weiss obviously being Brady's first offensive coordinator and all that stuff. And they said, look, you know, they've seen with the Patriots some really messy breakups over the years. But Pioli was trying to make the point that, hey, it doesn't change the deep, deep, deep love and affection these guys have for each other. And that Bill Belichick is the ultimate phony baloney. What he puts out there is completely not who he is. And everybody who really knows him knows that his personality is not what he wants NFL fans to see. And they talked about how emotional Tom Brady is. Just he's an emotional guy. And when they were getting into that, I'm like, you know, it further reinforced it. Look, this guy's human. And I think Brady is going to be forcing some balls. I think that Brady's going to be a little jacked up in a weird way. And this is not a Brady-Jameis comparison, but it's the best analogy I can think of. Jameis used to come out and get overly hyped early in games. He did that forever, over and over and over again. Too jacked up and too fired up. And I think Brady may force some balls to Gronk, who, of course, they've been talking about. You know, hey, I want a touchdown in Gillette. I got to get one. And Antonio Brown's probably all jacked up. That's the last team that cut him, right? I mean, he's coming back. He loves the big games. The Patriots cut him. He knows the whole world is watching, and he wants a payday next week or next year. I'm interested, Ira. I think Brady's going to press a little bit. And, there's some football reasons as well, which, of course, we'll get to.
That's an interesting take, Steve. You know, doing my weekly podcast with Mr. Derek Brooks. And, you know, Brooks always drops some great wisdom on those podcasts. And, Lee, I specifically asked Brooks, you know, how's this game going to affect the other 51 Bucks besides Gronkowski and Brady? And, you know, Brooks implied that, you know, these players are well aware of the emotions that are swirling with Gronk and Brady. And for Brady, Lee, and you know, it was a great point by Brooks. There's not a lot of firsts for Brady. Lee, he's seen every defense. He's seen every blitz. He's played every franchise. Lee, there's not a lot of firsts for Brady. This is uncharted waters for Brady, Lee. Something like this. Just talking about the emotional aspect of this game. So that's an interesting point by Steve. I think those nerves will settle down as the game goes along. But, you know, Brady likes to stay on a certain emotional keel. It helps make him the great player that he is. And it's going to be interesting if the surroundings and the hoopla and the guy standing on the sideline that he's going to be looking towards at times, that all could have an effect on Brady. Even though he's the ultimate consistent performer, he is human, Lee. He is.
Maybe I'm a Martian or something, or alien. I don't get it. I don't understand it. It means nothing to me. Maybe because I never watched the Patriots. I hope they can get some pressure on Mac Jones. That's what I'm worried about. The Bucs need to win this game. Screw Belichick. Screw the Patriots. It's got nothing to do with that. The Bucs need a W. I don't care who the hell they're playing. They need a W. That's what I'm worried about.
Steve, the singular focus on what the goings on at one Buck place, it's a beautiful thing. But I'll tell you, who cares, Steve? Couple of TV stations in Boston, including the NBC affiliate, of which I did a 2 or 3 minute video shoot with outside One Buck Place. And the first question that was posed to me was, how's Brady perceived in this town? Anybody care about Brady? And come on, Steve. You know, that's a layup. That's a layup. And I proceeded to spool this woman, and she wanted to know, well, what was the franchise like before Tom got to town? And I looked at her and I said, 12 years without a playoff. If you don't win 12 games in Foxborough, there's panic in the streets. I'm talking about 12 years without a playoff. I said, you got the greatest Mount Rushmore in sports, Boston. They are number one. You can't beat them. You got Bobby Orr, Ted Williams, Bill Russell, and Tom Brady. She said, what do you got? I said, Martin St. Louis. She said, who? I said, Rondé Barber. She said, Ron, didn't he used to be on TV? I mean, it's unbelievable, guys. The pedigree of Boston, it's a great sports town. And, of course, we like to call ourselves Titletown, Steve, but we don't have that kind of history. And part of that history, a big part of it, is number 12.
Ira, one interesting nugget I heard on Boston Sports Radio that I think makes a lot of sense. And, you know, we're not going to be there to see it play out. But they were talking about how whatever pregame ceremony, whatever they put up on the big board or whatever they say in the stadium, whatever they're doing to honor Brady's return will be completely calculated to get in Brady's head and to try to draw emotion out of him and to distract him. And it will all be choreographed. While it'll be nice and the fans will enjoy it, it'll all be about trying to suck in Brady and Gronk and get in their heads a little bit. And which, of course, is about winning the football game because the Patriots have their backs against the wall, too. And I want your thought on that, guys, just from a sake of, if you think anybody can get in his head. And Pioli and Weiss themselves were talking about how much time this week Belichick and Brady will each spend on working to control their emotions, practicing, dissecting how they're going to react when they feel, when they look up into, when Brady will be focused on, all right, when I look up in the stands and I feel this or I see this or whatever, this is how I'm going to respond. And just how much effort he'll put in to dialing everything back for himself.
Steve, I have not heard any confirmation that there is going to be a pregame tribute to Brady and Gronkowski. I don't know that that's a fact. I think, Lee, they'd have to run that past Belichick. And in the words of the Kemper, who cares? Let's get that game underway at 8:20 p.m. I'll be at Big Storm with all my buddies enjoying a promosa, Lee. And you'll be in front of your set listening to the pearls of wisdom of Chris Collinsworth. And Lee, the Bucks need a win in this respect. You don't lose to the Patriots. You don't lose to the Patriots. They don't look good. They don't. Their offense stinks. I'll say it. It stinks. Mac Jones is coming off a horrific effort against New Orleans. I'm not worried about Mac Jones shredding this Buck defense, even though it is struggling. believe if they screw around and lose this game, shame on them, Lee. Shame on them.
I think the Patriots are a little more dangerous than what you maybe give them credit or discredit. You know, they have Belichick still, and he can always find a way. He can always find a way. New Orleans, I think, has a very underrated defense. I really do. So I can't just dismiss that they got pounded by New Orleans. I can't dismiss that. Or I will say this about the alleged distractions and all this nonsense for Brady. Maybe I forgot, but 8 months ago, didn't these same guys win a Super Bowl? Didn't they go to Green Bay and win an NFC title game? I mean, if they can be mentally prepared for that and mentally prepared to go to the Superdome and beat the Saints, I think they're going to be okay.
I'd like to see them play a complete game, Steve, and so would Bruce Arians. I think he's a little frustrated with the ebbs and flows now. Now, they just got flat out cut by the Rams. But the first two games, they weren't sharp at all. And I don't know. I could give him a pass game one. You know, you got your focus elsewhere or whatever. You're distracted. But now it's three games. And, Steve, it's about time for the real Bucks to show up.
Yeah. Offensively, you can't complain whatsoever. But the defense is a different animal.
Yeah, I watched that Patriots-Saints game this morning. That was a one-score game at the two-minute warning at the end of the game. So, yeah, there was no blowout for sure. The Patriots are impressive with their certain elements to their defense. You know, Jameis Winston lit it up for about 120 yards. And, the pass defense is there for the Patriots. And the Saints kept running the ball. They were getting 3 yards a carry, but they stuck with it. They just wouldn't let Jameis pass the ball and open it up at all. And, the Bucs are going to have an interesting situation in front of them with the Patriots defense that's good against the pass. They may have to run the ball a little bit, which they haven't done very well. So a lot of things there, Ira. But first, I got to tell everybody, Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. Get to their homepage and read right there on the homepage about their nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. It's not a joke. It's legit. I've got it on my vehicle. You guys have it on your vehicles from Bill Curry Ford. Although, Ira, you've got a fancy lease, so it doesn't matter for you. But nationwide lifetime warranty, new and used vehicles, it's impressive. At BillCurryFord.com, C-U-R-R-I-E, that's the family name. GM Sean Sullivan, he is the guy to talk to, friend of Ira, friend of us, and he will help you personally any way he can. You can email him, you can call him, whatever it is, just ask for Sean, and he'll guide you. And that's really all you can ask for is honest guidance, and that's what you'll get. You'll also get the Ira Kaufman discount. And now, Ira, you can listen to the Best in Class podcast at Joe Bucks Fan once a week with Sean Sullivan himself talking about draft picks and second-year guys and how they're doing in the NFL. Because he is the draft guru that people love to listen to here. How about that, Ira?
It's a very unique podcast. Nobody else is doing anything like that. He covers the entire league, how first-year players are doing, second year, and he knows his stuff. We know that he's a draft guru. He is the guy that picked out Joe Tryon to be a Buccaneer in 2021 and got that right, and he's got every reason to take a bow for that. I stopped in to see Sean today. Beautiful showroom, and they're adding to it. They're expanding, and the inventory is increasing for new cars. The new Fords are coming in. Gentlemen, I got a little tidbit for both of you. I like to drop a little detail on these podcasts, and here it goes. Which of the 32 teams through 3 weeks has attempted the fewest passes? The Kemper?
The fewest passes?
The fewest passes as a team.
Well, if it's not New Orleans, I don't know who it is.
It's New Orleans.
Okay.
It's New Orleans.
They won't let him throw the damn football. It's obvious in the game.
Well, there's also a guy there by the name of Alvin Kamara, too.
There is. And they're 2-1. So, you know, I don't see any reason that Sean Payton's going to change his tune if they win 2 out of 3 games. But right now, they have thrown the fewest passes in football.
Sage, the Patriots pass defense, I believe it's second in the NFL, and the defense is good there. Ira, do you think, it seems like you've already put your foot down, but do you think they can pose any resistance to the Bucs at all?
Well, I think this is a good week for the Bucs to get their running game going. I know Lee doesn't want to hear it, but, you know, a guy who agrees with me is Mr. Derek Brooks, who knows a few things about football. And he always talks about getting ahead of the chains and dictating what kind of defense they're going to be in and opening up your playbook when you're not, you know, second and 10. When it's second and five, it makes a big difference. So, yeah, you know, New England's got a nice secondary, and the pass rush is okay. But, Lee, in the words of Al Davis, the Bucs take what they want in terms of the passing game. I don't see anybody slowing down Brady and company. Antonio Brown's back in the fold. I don't say Brady's going to throw 47 passes, Lee. That's his average. I think that's too high. You don't. I think the Buck passing game will be successful because New England hasn't faced an offense with these kind of threats. With all due respect, Lee, New Orleans, they don't have a receiver that might be as good as Tyler Johnson. That never mind, you know, because Mike Thomas isn't playing right now. And, you know, here come the Bucks, and, you know, who are you going to double team? I mean, Lee, the Rams have a good defense. Brady threw for 420. I mean, he did. So, and that's without Antonio Brown. So, I'm not worried about the Pats pass defense. It's a pretty good defense, but I don't see Jalen Ramsey and I don't see Aaron Donald.
Here's the way I look at it with the Bucks. They're leading the league in scoring. They surely aren't doing it by the run. So, I do not believe in any way, shape, or form fixing something that's not broken. I don't understand the benefit of beating your head against the wall just to prove something when you already have documented. You can't do it, and you flip the coin, you're excelling at the other. Why go away from the part you're excelling? Here's the best analogy I can come up with, Ira. I know you're a baseball guy. Maybe this will help you understand. You're Dick Houser, 85-volt Royals. Game six, you're down a run. Runners on the corners. Eighth inning. Who do you want at the plate? George Brett or Buddy Biancolana?
Steve, I love the Kemper's logic here. Lee, let me throw this out at you. What if you ran the ball and you were getting 4.5 yards a carry? Would you abandon the running game?
If you're not making progress with it. I know you just said 4.5 yards, but we could talk for hours about football. At the end of the day, it's about points. Bucks are leading the league in points. You want me to say?
Well, Lee, they only had 17 points till garbage time last week. They only had 17.
I mean, the Rams defense was so good, and Brady still put up 400 yards on them. So,
he did, but 17 points, Lee.
Now, I believe in production.
You've made up your mind that they can't run the ball, and I don't agree with that. I don't agree.
Where's your evidence that they are this year?
Last season.
That's what I said, this year. Where's your evidence this year through three games that they're capable of running the ball?
You want to quit?
Again, I'll go back to this, Ira. Why would I want to go away from something that's already documented not only works, but it's the best in the league? I don't understand that. I don't get it. I don't understand that logic. Don't fix something that's not broken. This is family where I grew up. They weren't the Adams family, but they're basically the Adams family of the town I grew up in. And the kids were awesome kids. They were mischievous as could be. They weren't mean. They weren't nasty. They weren't criminals. But they were just mischievous. Their dad brings home a brand new lawnmower. After work, he goes and buys a brand new lawnmower, and the next day he plans to mow the lawn with that new lawnmower. So he goes to work the next day, he's planning on mowing the lawn when he gets home. He gets home, and his brand new lawnmower, piece by piece by piece, is on the sidewalk. The kids took it apart. They couldn't figure out how to put it back together again. Why take apart that lawnmower?
Steve, where are you going to get an Adams Family reference on a podcast?
I'll counter with a third angle here. But first, I do want to mention, because Lee mentioned Alvin Kamara. As fantasy players know, he's having a crappy year, 3.4 yards a carry, no touchdowns.
He's on my fantasy team.
I know, Ira. That's why I gave it to you there.
Why did you remind Ira right now? I understand. What are you reminding me of?
People are crying in their Big Storm beers all over Florida, all over town, that Kamara sucks, and they still won't let Jameis Winston throw the ball. And what's his name? Sean Payton continues to pound it, 3.4 yards a carry, and he won't let the guy throw the ball, which is fascinating to me how that's evolving there. But on the Bucks front, you know, Lee said, as we've talked about many times on the podcast, don't fix what's not broken. Well, the running game is broken, and they needed the running game to win a Super Bowl last year. That's just fact. That at least we saw it unfold in front of our eyes. They ran for almost 500 yards through four playoff games. That's just reality. And so in order to fix it, you got to give it a little bit more of a commitment. I'm not trying to lose games, but I think the balance is that if you don't have the running game and something goes wrong with the passing game, your whole season might be over. So
Blaine Gabbert.
Blaine Gabbert. I think if the Bucks have no threat of a running game, it affects the passing game. We know that because there are people screaming for play action all over Tampa Bay. If you've got no threat, you have no play action, and Brady doesn't want that. So I think there's an in-between here. There's no reason the running game should suck so bad, and heads have got to roll. I mean, if these guys can't produce, throw Keyshawn Vaughn in there. He might be able to get 3-4 yards a carry. I mean, Peyton Barber just lit it up for the Raiders last week. So, and honestly, guys, at this rate, and we're going to talk about Richard Sherman next, but at this rate, if the Bucs running backs can't pull this off, I expect Adrian Peterson in here before Halloween.
Lee, all I'm saying is if the Bucs can get the running game going, this offense will be even better. It will be even better. That's my own
will. I think it'll be less.
I think it'll be better.
If your goal is a balanced offense, that drives me crazy. Some of the greatest offenses in the history of the football were not even close to being balanced. So I don't know where this euphemism came that gotta have a balanced offense. Like some coaches on the sideline, oh, we gotta run the ball. What do you mean run the ball? We're getting 20 yards a pass. Oh, we got four more passes than runs. We gotta run the ball. Gotta be balanced. That's just another thing I just don't understand. Where is the climbing going with your strength? Where is the sacrilege going with your strength? Especially when the strength is leading the league. I mean, I'm sorry. I guess I need a psychologist. I don't understand why you want to make yourself worse, why you want to be a lesser team. I don't get it at all.
I believe it would be irresponsible.
That's what I think. It'd be irresponsible not to go. You're basically telling the players, I don't want to win.
I didn't finish my sentence, DeKemper. It would be irresponsible, gentlemen, for Tom Brady to throw 800 footballs in the 2021 regular season. That's irresponsible. Why would you expose him that many times to an injury, knowing one injury to Brady, your season is over? That's irresponsible.
And what happens if you run the ball and you don't make the playoffs because you can't run the ball? Is that not irresponsible?
You got to give it a try, Lee. You got to give it a try.
Who says? Where's this 10th, 11th commandment? You have to run the ball no matter what. I seriously do not understand this. Why would you take a brand new car that runs like 100 miles an hour and screw with the carburetor so it won't go 40? Yeah, run is worse. Where does this mentality come from that you have to be worse?
Steve, 44 years old, 800 passes.
If they're winning, so what? If they're that scared, they should never sign the SOB.
No good, Esmitz. No good.
Hey, I think there's middle ground here. And look, we've seen that the Bucks have been passing a ton. And there you go. Rob Gronkowski just took a shot, and he's banged up, which is what we didn't want.
Grief, guys. Football's a physical game. If they're that much of female dogs, you know, put the second stringers out there and freaking 3-yard dives every play. You won't get anybody hurt that way. Guess what? You'll be 2-7, 2-15. Come on, people.
I'm not against throwing it at all. I'm not against throwing it at all. But if you are going to run the ball.
We're scared he's going to get bruised. Come on, guys. It's football. Guys get hurt.
Yeah, but.
Are you trying to win? My God, are we losing our minds?
No. We talked all offseason about preserving old players. And being ready for the playoffs.
Well, I'd be paranoid about him. If they're that freaking scared these old players are going to get hurt, what the hell did they even sign him for? Come on, guys.
Well, they just spent a ton of money on running backs. Why'd they even do that if they could have?
I agree with you there. They're not, you know, they might be out of work to come February.
I,
DeKemper, what did you
What'd you drink before this podcast, McCaffrey?
The Bucks have the best flipping offense in the league. They're scoring the most points. We've never seen this before. And you want to tear it down and run just to freaking run when they can't run. What? I don't get that fucking basketball. This guy can't shoot three-pointers.
We got to shoot three-pointers.
He can't hit the ball on the barn.
Got to shoot three-pointers.
We just lost by 20. Because why? You're throwing three-pointers up all the time. And they can't hit them. And you would take a coach and be out of his mind. Well, that's what you're saying right here. Run the ball. We can't run. Run the ball. We can't run. Run the ball. But we lost by 20. Come on, guys. I can't be this crazy.
Steve, the headline for this podcast is Lee DeKemper has given up on the run game of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers after three games. That's the headline. You've given it up. Don't run the ball at all anymore. Just throw it. You've given it up.
Good.
Oh, boy.
Well,
carry on, Steve. Carry on.
The Chiefs had one of the best offenses around last year. Explosive, Hall of Fame tight end, electric receivers. And, they still handed the ball off plenty. You know, Edwards-Helaire was a full-time back last year.
I'm sorry. I just can't deal with this anymore. Can we change the subject? This is ridiculous.
Why do you have so little confidence that the Bucs' running game will improve? They got the same backs and the same line.
Do I need to repeat myself what the hell they're doing with the passing game? Repeat that about 20 times, Ira. Best in the league passing. Best in the league passing. Best in the league passing. If you say it 20 times, the metrics stick it in. I just can't change the subject. I gotta start working.
All right. We don't want to drive Lee crazy, but you know,
I might have to go over to the DeKemper's house and calm him down. But we better move on.
Sage Richard Sherman. He's here. He's in the house. He's not ready to play. No matter as much as anybody wants him to, he's not ready.
Can he run the football? That's the question. Can he carry the ball?
Your thoughts. Your feelings.
He might get bruised. No.
Your thoughts. Your feelings. Richard Sherman. And go for it.
All right. The pros. Highly intelligent football player. That helps. His physical skills have diminished, perhaps considerably. Can he help? Maybe in a pinch. I don't see him playing a prominent role. I don't for a championship team. I have more confidence in him than one of these Buck young guys. Maybe. He's making minimal money, no risk, but I don't think he's going to have a major impact in a positive way on this Buck team. He also has some off-field issues, which nobody wants to talk about. Look, if it's Richard Sherman of 2015, you know, it's a different story. This ain't Tom Brady, you know, the fountain of youth. I don't think he's going to help that much. I just don't.
If you got to ask me, would I rather have an intelligent, though diminished, Richard Sherman over D. Delaney? I'd take Richard Sherman, yeah. I can't speak to how much his skills have diminished, but I'm 100% with you, Ira, in the sense that he's a very smart guy. He's a smart individual. He's very smart on football. Okay, yeah, the Haslip in Seattle this summer, that was more of an incident of passion. And, right. And a few beers on top of it. And we're human. I'm not condoning what he did, not at all. And the video was scary, but that was very unlike him from what I understand. I mean, that's the only thing you've ever heard from him as far as crossing a line off the field. At least I don't recall any other incident. So I think that was an outlier. I just think he's such a smart guy. And the Bucks, even though they won a Super Bowl, and even though those guys are young, yeah, they've got experience, but they'll have experience like Richie Sherman does. The thing I really like about it, in addition to his smarts, and this kind of ties into what I'm trying to say, right now the Rams are the team to beat. I think it's fair to say that. The Rams are the team to beat if the Bucs are going to get to the Super Bowl. They're probably going to face the Rams again. Who knows the Rams better than Richard Sherman? He's played them twice a year forever. He probably knows everything there is to know about Sean McVay's offense, what you could expect Sean McVay to call, what his tendencies are. He probably knows how to shut down Cooper Kupp, which the Bucs haven't been able to figure out through 3 years now. So I really like
I really like this move. Maybe not as much for on the field, but off the field, in the locker room, in the meeting rooms, you're studying film, knowing your opponent, especially now you're the guy you got to beat. That's what I like about this.
And Steve, the other point to be made about the Sherman affair, the power of Brady, the Brady effect, whatever you want to call it. Lee, when he makes the phone call and he drops a dime on you, not only do you pick up the phone, but you, next thing you know, you're on a flight to Tampa. I mean, that's just the way it is, Lee.
I totally agree with you, but just for our readers' sake, your listeners' sake, you might want to explain the drop a dime. I bet there's a sizable portion. They don't know what you mean.
They used to say that with toll calls and then phone boots or things like that. You're right. You know, once Brady puts his arm on you, Steve, you can't get out of it. I mean, the guy, Gronkowski, Sherman, Bernard, Antonio Brown, and maybe they're not done yet. Steve, there might be another guy out there. You know, one more injury, and here comes another guy. Who's going to turn down Tom Brady, Steve?
And so since he's only getting 2.5, again, quotation marks only, that leaves the door open for what you just said. And I think that's a very interesting, very good point. This may not be the last veteran to come in. I mean, Steve's kind of referenced Adrian Peterson, and Arians has a history with Adrian Peterson, too. It's not like a complete stranger. And I've noticed that Arians likes to bring in vets when he needs to, likes to bring in vets he has a history with.
And Steve, the other day when I wrote that column about how the Bucks never used to look at a free agent that's on the wrong side of 29, and I started going down the roster, and, you know, it was a number, it was bigger than I expected. How many Bucks are 30 years old or older? The number was 17, if you count Antonio. Yeah, Antonio Brown. Lee, that's a third of the roster. We don't disagree with it. We do agree with it when you have Tom Brady. I don't have a problem with it, but, Lee, it's a dramatic shift in tone for this organization, and it's all because of one guy. One guy.
Yeah, you know, he is the common denominator, isn't he? He always comes back to Brady, which I guess it should, but he's really changed this franchise for the better, obviously.
Ira, do you have any concern that Sherman won't be satisfied or won't play along well if he has to sit the bench? And maybe the bonding and the identity that these guys built as the Gravediggers, as a young core and up us against the world, that might be a little upset by having Richard Sherman coming in, who some people want to look to him for leadership or for wisdom, yet he doesn't know the defense. And I don't know. Do you feel any, and you know how close these secondary guys are with Todd Bowles. Do you feel that could be any kind of issue?
No, I don't foresee a problem in that area. First of all, I think the Gravediggers, Lee, they respect what Sherman's done in this league, as they should.
Yeah.
As they should. He's been a premier corner for a long time. His best days are behind him. Now, I don't know if he'd admit that, but they are. But he's got a string of accomplishments. And for the most part, Buck's secondary doesn't have that. You know, they played well down the stretch last year. They're not distinguishing themselves in 2021, certainly, although I think Carlton Davis is playing okay, Lee. I think he's playing okay. And as far as Sherman himself, Steve, maybe not getting the defensive snaps, I think the Bucks were honest with him up front. And, of course, the Brady effect could come in again. If he does get a little rankled, I think Brady will get a hold of him and say, your day's going to come, which it probably will, sooner rather than later. Lee, I don't see a problem with chemistry with Sherman, Sherman's addition.
Well, of course, they could always cut him, of course. He's not making that much. So if he's sour or whatever, they could always get rid of him. So, I mean, I like the move. Like Lee said, he's a better player, could be a better player than some. And you got to take a chance. And, you know, they're all in a big way. And Ira, on your list of 30-year-old players, on top of that, Giovanni Bernard is really one more because he turns 30 at midseason. So it's a very old roster. Wanted to get your thoughts, guys. You know, we know that what coaches say is pretty calculated, and Todd Bowles usually says a whole lot of nothing. And he was asked about Jamel Dean, and he didn't say Well, Dean is, you know, he got hurt. He's working his way back. He's working with trainers. It's day to day. He didn't go there. He says, I mean, you play 100% of your career. You play at 100% your first year. And after that, it's all tolerance, pain tolerance. But we'll see. That's like another way of saying, dude, get your ass on the field. Play through the pain. And we don't care.
Your point's well taken, Steve. That's about as direct a message from Todd Bowles, Lee, as you're going to get. He doesn't like to talk about individual players in anything but a flattering sense. For example, Lee, and I don't know if you listened to Bowles. I did. Lee, he was asked about Devin White. He was asked about Shaq Barrett. Lack of splash plays for both of them for 3 weeks. And he won't go there, Lee. He won't say anything about them individually. All he keeps talking about is we got to coach better. And we got to play better as a unit. That's what you're going to get in public from Todd Bowles. But as Steve mentioned, his line of, you know, in regarding Jamel Dean, that was loud and clear. So, yeah, this is a big game for Jamel Dean because Richard Sherman is chomping at the bit. Lee, he wants back in. He's very driven right now. You know, he's all chummy with Brady. You know, Dean dropped an interception. Lee, I don't think it turned the game around. I don't think the Bucks would have won the game if Dean hung on to that ball. But, Lee, it's not the first time that he didn't hang on to an easy interception. It's not the first time. Now, he is the guy that turned around that Green Bay game last year against Rodgers. I'll give him that. But, Lee, he's very up and down in terms of his hands. He's certainly not he's not a ball hawk in the class of a Mike Edwards. I think far from it.
Yeah, that's true. When Dean dropped that ball, I put up on Twitter real quick on Sunday, like, well, there's your example of why Dean is a cornerback and not a receiver. You know, we've heard that many times before, but still, apropos. There were three plays, not to go back to the Rams game, but there were three plays in the first quarter. The Bucs just turned two of those around. We might be talking about a different outcome. Might. And I'm not saying they would have won, but there might have been a different outcome. If, you know, Dean had that pick six right there at his chest, he drops the ball. There was a fumble recovery that the Bucks could have got. Steve watched the game the second time. He smelled some loafing. I'll just be polite about it. Steve smelled some loafing. And then Gronk, you know, that pass that was just a fraction of an inch too long to Gronk, it dropped over his shoulder.
Right.
Two of those three plays happened in the Bucks' favor. Maybe that game's different. If Dean would have caught that, gosh darn it. Yeah, Sherman, I don't think, drops that. But, oh, by the way, about Bowles. I think Bowles, and Steve kind of suggested this in his story. Steve wrote that story about Dean. He's right on the mark about Dean and Bowles. Arian said something this past summer in training camp. I want to say he was talking about Gronk, but it's not important for the subject matter. He said about players in general, you might feel okay the first week, but not after that.
Yeah.
Ira, just to clarify, because it was strong, it wasn't really just me with the loafing, it was Bruce Arians. This is his quote. That was a really good play by Whitehead, referring to the forced fumble. Quote, that ball seemed like it laid on the ground forever and we just didn't get it. If we're hustling harder, playing harder, we get that ball, says Arians. Now, that I went back and looked at the play again to see what he was talking about, because he basically is saying we loafed. We had guys who should have gotten to that ball. And you look at Shaq and you look at Joe Tryon, and on that screen pass, Whitehead made the hit. And after that ball was released, those guys were jogging back to the ball carrier. This was not Vita Vea sprinting to catch Ronald Jones at training camp. And they were the loafers. And this is a problem with Joe Tryon. The guy has a high motor. He may be the best athlete on the field. He's the young gun. But sometimes he just gets caught watching. He just gets caught watching. And they haven't coached it out of him yet since the preseason. Somebody needs to just scream at this guy and say, you know, you're running 75 laps if you do that again. You know, and I'm glad Arians mentioned it.
Yeah, I love the fact Arians called two guys out. I love that. And I don't care which two guys it is, Lee. I think he treats them all the same. And I love that. And, Lee, remember when people were up in arms early last season when he actually said that Brady made a couple of bad decisions. People went nuts. What?
Yeah.
You say that about your quarterback? These people are nuts.
Lee, but I think it was Rob, and I always butcher the name, I have to apologize. Rob Ninkovich. He basically said Arians needs to be fired over that. Then he wound up winning the Super Bowl. So, well, he looked like a fool, didn't
you? You know, if these guys are so thin-skinned that they can't handle it, too bad for them.
I bet you Belichick says a whole lot worse things about players than Arians does.
He does, and Lee, one of your favorites, and I know he's one of your favorites, and he's in the Hall of Fame, deservedly so. Lee, you love the videos. You've seen them a million times. Parcells chewing out Phil Simms, Lawrence Taylor, a young Bill Belichick on the sideline who was working as an assistant for Parcells. He was an equal opportunity asshole, Lee.
You would know, too.
Respect that, Lee. They respect it. If you're going to dole it out to everybody. And, Steve, as far as the loafing, and by the way, very, very astute by you, Steve, to pick up on that, about what happened on that particular play. The word loaf, that's one of the dirtiest words ever said around one Buckplace, because the standard was set by Monty Kiffin, who was just honored 2 weeks ago. Nothing drove Kiffin crazy on film more than a loaf, Lee. That's what he talked about. There won't be any loafs.
And number two, I bet, was missed tackles.
And it might have been missed tackles, which the Bucks are also guilty of that, Lee.
Yeah, you're right about loafs.
Steve, I believe the Bucks have given up more yards after the catch. Than any team in football. I believe I'm correct on that.
Yeah. Sage, before we get to our picks, a few things. First, earlier, of course, we heard the beautiful advertisement from Big Storm Beer, where you will be at Big Storm Brewing Company. Everybody knows it. That's where the Sage is. Clearwater location, on the patio, hanging out, having a great time. Bucks Patriots kickoff is at 8:20. Ira's going to have some giveaways.
That's right.
Check joebucksfan.com for even more information, of course. And we learned about Florida's Elite Restoration. Hey, as you know, that's the first phone call, but also air conditioning contractors, plumbers, property managers. You know, if you're not referring anybody, if you have customers and they need help with mold issues or flooding, you go to floridaselite restoration.com, reach out to Josh Martin, the owner, and he will let you know what they can do for you and for your customers. It's a great way to operate. So many companies work with Florida's Elite Restoration. And it all starts at BillCurryFord.com whenever you're shopping for a vehicle 24/7. And then you reach out to Sean Sullivan and say, I like this vehicle, Sean. What can you do for me? Tell me about it. I remember I once asked Sean when I bought my car, I said, you know, is this thing a lemon or what? I mean, I think he freaked out. He's like, you think we have a lemon? He's like, you think we'd have a lemon on this lot? We've got a 110-point inspection. And I wouldn't sell, it was hilarious. Hilarious. I learned my lesson. Sage.
Well, it takes personal pride. I mean, it's like very personal to him that the quality of the customer care and the quality of the automobiles, he takes that personally.
Yeah, everything, really. Everything, the quality has to be top shelf. All right, Ira, wanted to just throw the nugget out there that you mentioned Devin White and Todd Bowles in his chat. And Devin White, you know, when he was asked about, he's struggling a little bit in coverage, Bowles wouldn't point a finger at him, but Bowles didn't come out and counter what was said that, hey, he never said Devin White's playing well, and he had every opportunity to do that. And I thought that was sort of interesting there. If you go back and look at the sequence, I know it's on the Bucks channel at YouTube or at the team website. Ira, we got to make our picks, and I'll go first, and I don't want to be a hypocrite. We, on our prediction podcast earlier this year, in this summer, I said I thought the Bucks would open up 5-3, and that they would close out strong with a second half of going 8-1. So I think they lose this game. I think Brady's going to show a little humanity, maybe that in a sense of a few plays that might get to him, get forcing the issue a little bit. And, of course, he thinks he knows what's coming, but maybe he doesn't. And I think, you know, the head games might affect him a little bit. The Bucks are banged up. Still no JPP. Issues on the defense. I don't know if they figured everything out. Back-to-back road games for our gamblers. Know that that's a recipe for a tight ball game. So I hate to say it, Ira, but I'm going to go 24-21 Patriots in a bit of a shocker. And so that's where I'm putting it.
Lee, you better go, Lee, because I'm stunned a little bit. Go ahead, Lee.
We got you rattled, Ira, unfortunately, between me and the passing and Isbits and the Patriots. You know, if I listen to you guys and your Boston hype, it's getting me scared. And I've been trying to just focus on the game. This should be a win. This really should be a win. I'm going to say the Bucks win by 5. I'm going 24-17. Bucks.
Ira, before you give your important address here, I just want to note that that Josh McDaniel and the Patriots, they have complete familiarity with the Todd Bowles defense, and I think that gives them a little bit of an edge there. This is not something brand new to them. They saw it so many years with the Jets, and they shredded it. And they know what's coming from that sense. And Bowles isn't somebody who necessarily strays too much. And right now, when he's a little bit undermanned, I don't think he's going to stray very much. They're going to blitz the hell out of the rookie. You know, while he may get flustered, you know, they're going to be ready for it. So, yeah, we'll see. Go ahead, Sage.
Basically, I don't think the Pats have enough firepower to exploit Tampa Bay struggling defense. I don't think they have it. Mac Jones is not going to run for 80 yards like Lamar Jackson might. He sticks in the pocket, and I don't think he's going to process his progressions the way that Prescott, Ryan, and Stafford, those guys are veterans, Lee. There's a big difference. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Bowles has a way of confusing young quarterbacks. And Jones is one of them. They threw 3 picks last week, I believe. Will the Bucks trounce him? Maybe, maybe not. You look at the Belichick factor. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't get beat up too often. No. But I think the Bucks win the game by 10 or 11 points. I say 27-16, Lee, Bucks.
I'll throw it out there, Sage, for the gamblers. You know, last year, if we're sort of paralleling a little bit, the Bucks opened up their offense. They went wild. They beat Chucky in Vegas. They had their first back-to-back road game, and they barely squeaked by a miserable Giants team. We all remember that game. So I don't know. I'm dead wrong. I hope I'm wrong, because we would love nothing more than to see the Bucks at 3-1 and cruising to a great start. Ira,
NBC would love that.
Ira, let me just
goes down to the last play of the game. NBC would love that.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Watch every Bucks road game with me at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Almerton.
Ira, before you head out, let me just set the stage real quick, because I think it's just important to at least mention for the people who are intrigued by the Brady control factor. You mentioned earlier you had the wonderful sit-down with Monica Madeja of...
Yeah.
NBC Sports in Boston, who was coming into town for several days to do features on Brady and Bucks related things. And I knew she was coming, you know, 10, 15 days ago. And again, she's an anchor. She was with a crew, and they were here in town to do this. And they were denied credentials to get into One Buck. They were not allowed in. They were not, permitted to be a part of the Tom Brady news conference, or of course, you know, they're a legitimate outlet. NBC is a partner of the NFL in a big way. They surely put in their request in advance, and it was denied. And I think, Ira, based on what I was told, you would know better, but it certainly seemed like Tom Brady let the Bucks know, don't let in a Boston freak show, a media circus in here. I don't want it. I don't want to deal with it, because I don't think they would have denied them otherwise.
We don't know for sure, Steve. We don't know the details. But I do know that they never got through the gates, the pearly gates, Lee, of One Buck Place. She never got through. And she had a cameraman with her. And they've been here, I think, maybe since Monday. So you know, she was a little frustrated, but she still got the job done and talked to a lot of interesting people, and she found Patriot fans living in Tampa. She did. You know, she got her stories in, and I was very happy to talk to her. But she did not get through the gates. If Brady was informed that NBC Boston was in town, he might have put his foot down. That could have happened.
All right, Iris. Say goodbye to everybody. Tell them what they need to know. And they can hang with you, of course, at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater for the game on Sunday. So I'll tell them that. You tell them what they need to know from the Bucks' perspective as they think about this game all night.
In opposition to Lee DeKemper, this game this game has a lot of additional interest than a normal Sunday night matchup between a 2-1 team and a 1-2 team. But I understand Lee's all about the X's and O's and everything from a Buck perspective. I'll say this. Tom Brady wants to win this game almost as much as he wanted to beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. A notch below. A notch below. I don't believe anything otherwise. Brady wants this one bad.